music, news, entertainment. It's all right here. This is the Kelly Alexander Show.
Hey, it's Kelly, and thank you for joining us on the show. This week, we welcome Canadian jazz artist Michael Casehammer, talking about the release of his 12th album, Something New. We also get to sit down with singer-songwriter Michaela May, chatting about her latest release called Hook, Line & Sinker, and where she's headed next with her recording career. We also have new music from Janet Jackson, Ariana Grande, and Camila Cabello. But first, it's back to 2009 and Whitney Houston with Million Dollar Bill on The Kelly Alexander Show.
Checked in my coat and who I'm looking for is there and in my face.
Janet Jackson with Made for Now on The Kelly Alexander Show. This, by the way, is Janet's first new music since her 2015 album Unbreakable. And the new track is being well received right across the world, picking up several million streams so far. Hey, it's Kelly, and we are looking forward to learning all about our next guest, Michaela May. Michaela is an independent recording artist out of Toronto whose music is being supported by notable fashion retailers like Zara Clothing. She is also receiving support and direction from former American Idol judge Randy Jackson. Michaela has recently released a new song called Hook, Line, and Sinker, and we can't wait to find out more about her track and burgeoning music career. Michaela, welcome to The Kelly Alexander Show.
Thanks for having me.
I wanted to start off right from the beginning. So how did your music career kick off?
It's been a bit of a journey, but I was signed as a young artist in the UK to an independent label. And then I released a song that got on a compilation there it was released through Universal Spain, and it was on with like Lady Gaga and Rihanna and people like that. And then unfortunately the label went into liquidation. It was really, really small. Everything imploded. And then I thought it was basically all over. And then I became a songwriter for quite a few years, and then sort of became an artist again after I wrote a song called 1954. And then sort of everything changed again. So it's kind of been back and forth between artist-songwriter. But I mean, even from a young age, I've always sang and everything like that. But my career sort of changed. I was doing lots of open mics and things like that in the UK. In London, I got spotted by Simon Ellis, who is Britney Spears' musical director and also wrote for Never Had Jean Come True for S Club 7 and did Spice Girls tour and all of that. So I think things changed there for me when I met him, and he sort of took me under his wing for songwriting. But it has been a lot of back and forth between in front of the scenes, behind the scenes. But I mean, it has been an immense journey of learning and sort of just getting better all the time with every year. So I'm really grateful for it.
So do you balance your time between the UK and Canada?
I'm based in Canada now fully, but I did used to go back and forth from the UK to Los Angeles a little bit when I was doing more of the writing, but I'm based fully here, but I did a lot of my sort of early stuff in the UK.
Can you talk to us a little bit about Toronto's music scene? Because I used to live there for a while, love being back here in Montreal, but I do know that I'm seeing more and more people shouting out Toronto as like the music scene to go to. I think even, I don't want to sort of misquote myself here, but I almost want to say that Ryan Tedder even said from One Republic that the hotspots are like Nashville, Los Angeles, and Toronto, I think he said. So like, what's your take on where Toronto's going and where it currently is?
I mean, I 100% agree. I was on the scene for 6 years in London, and I think there's an incredible talent there. But coming here, I don't know if it's because half the year is just, you know, you're in minus temperatures and snow. I don't know if that's it, but there's something in the water here that is producing the most, some of the most incredible talent I've ever seen. Sort of not just artists, but producers, mix engineers, session musicians. I think there's a real hunger for music, but I think there's also a real love in Toronto for it as well. There's also a really healthy live scene. So I think with everybody sort of going out and supporting each other, the community here, certainly the one that I'm in, is very close-knit and extremely supportive. So we all go out and watch each other and perform and support it. And I just think that is just breeding so much healthy competition, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. We're all really in support of one another, but just the standard is so high that I think every time you go out and see someone, I mean, there's not a night that goes by that you don't walk into a bar in Toronto and you could hear an artist that you're just sitting there thinking, why is this person not out there in a big way? But yeah, it's incredible. And, you know, I guess a lot of the mainstream artists that are coming out of Canada right now, they're really putting Canada on the map in a really big way. And Toronto, I think, is leading the charge. And it's really cool to be a part of it.
Joining us on the show is recording artist Michaela May. Make sure you follow her on her website. Grab all of her social media handles, michaelamayofficial.com. Who influenced you musically growing up?
The biggest influence was ABBA, actually, because my mom played all of their CDs, cassettes, whatever it was at the time, constantly. So it was ABBA and also Motown. I was very much influenced to what my parents were listening to. But for me, melodically, ABBA just had, I don't know, there was something really special that resonated with me. And I don't think it's by chance that my music does sort of tend to lean in a sort of Scandi pop feel. I think I must have just been so super influenced by them when I was younger, but I also loved the Motown stuff. My mom loved Motown. So always in the car, she was always playing music. And it was mainly ABBA and Motown. So I think those are the two things that inspired me. And then, of course, you know, a little bit older, you know, I loved the Spice Girls and I loved Kylie Minogue. Like, I've always been very drawn to big pop artists, Madonna, Britney. Like, I was always really drawn to that kind of music. But at the same time, I also loved listening to soul and blues as well, just listening to a completely different feel. But definitely, yeah. Oh, Take That as well. I was a massive fan of Take That. UK boy band, I was a huge fan. But yeah, so I mainly sort of very influenced by pop music.
What is your thoughts on someone like a Kathy Dennis, who obviously had like a pop career like in the early 90s, and then she wrote all these incredible songs for other artists later on? Is that something that you would like to do as well or have already done?
Oh, I would love that. You know, if I can be that fortunate, I think I would love that. Actually, Simon Ellis, who kind of scouted me in London, wrote Never Had a Dream Come True with Kathy Dennis and Don't Stop Moving with Kathy Dennis for S Club 7. So I really admire her work. And then she wrote, you know, the stuff for Kylie and Britney. And I admire her so much as a songwriter, the same way as I admire Sia as well. I mean, if my career goes in that direction where I'm landing songs with massive artists, I think, you know, I'd be nothing but grateful. As far as like the future, I would love to sort of have a foot in both camps if possible. I'd love to sort of keep doing, performing, keep being an artist as long as people are interested in listening. But certainly the songwriting is a huge influence for me, and I can definitely see it being a career path for sure.
Because you're a songwriter, what's your take on the current status of female songwriters? Because it seems as of late, I would say over the last couple of years, that female songwriters are getting more cred, like a Sia, like a Julia Michaels, mm-hmm. who is, you know, blowing mm-hmm. everybody away. What's your thought on the current crop of female writers and the respect they're finally getting, I would say?
I think the respect is long overdue, to be honest. I think there's probably been many female writers in many sessions just not being credited. And I think it's due to a bigger movement that's happening right now for women in general, which, again, I couldn't be happier about. And it's very overdue. I read a stat the other day, and oh gosh, I probably shouldn't quote it because I can't remember it fully. But, you know, the statistics in women in music is still so far down. It was something like the top 100 of Billboard, and there was only like 13% women were involved in it. And, you know, I don't know how accurate that is, but I think there's still a lot of work to be done. But people like Sia and Julia Michaels sort of are leading that charge. And I think female songwriters, you know, we are, and also I think Taylor Swift as well, you know, she's spoken out about that as well, which is great. I think we all have to collectively band together and it's important to put songwriters on the map. People forget that normally behind a lot of major artists are a lot of songwriters. And I do think that they need to be acknowledged more, and we definitely need to be evening out the room in these writing sessions. So I love the work that all the female songwriters are doing and the streetcar, but I think we still have a lot more work we need to do there.
How did your relationship start with former American Idol judge Randy Jackson?
Oh, that's a very recent thing. He saw a video of mine, Loveaholic, which I put out last year, and it was through a friend of a friend. It got to him. I mean, I had no relationship with him prior to. And he saw it, and I was showcasing. I did my very first kind of debut LA showcase in December of last year in a very small, it was like a maximum room of 70 people. It was invite only. You know, it's my first time kind of going down there and bringing my show that I've been doing in Canada down there, and just sort of like very tentatively like dipping my feet in. And I had heard that he potentially was interested in coming to watch me. And I thought, oh, there's no way. There's no way Randy Jackson is going to turn up. And lo and behold, he did. And he watched the show. And then we ended up going to brunch with him the next day and had a really amazing conversation with him about my career. And, you know, just moving forward, we check in with him. And he gives me advice on what I should and should not be doing. And I'm just really fortunate to have someone like that that's, you know, kind of on the sideline, you know, saying, yeah, this is a really good choice that you're making, or a good decision, or listening to my songs. And so I'm really, really fortunate to have that. He's a really, really great guy.
What are some of the biggest challenges that you face as an indie artist? Because, I think in some regards, or I would say many regards, you know, in the last several years, it's almost better to be an indie artist as opposed to signed to a label. Like I obviously you don't have the machine behind you. So what things do you find challenging the most?
I think at the moment, the most challenging thing is just financing your career, really. As far as the creative stuff, I think of being an indie artist, like you said, it's amazing because you get to make all your decisions yourself as to what you want to write and how you want to put it out and where you want to go and tour. And I think for me personally, it's the financing side because it's all expensive. But I think aside from the finance, it is tough. And I think what's even happening now with the Spotify's of the world and Apple Music, I think maybe 2 years ago, there were such openings for indie artists. And I think now the record labels have caught up to the streaming aspect and sort of really leveraging their relationship with them and bringing them closer. So a lot of these big playlists that now, you know, as an indie artist, we really would love to show up on them. It's just extremely hard for us to even show up on them just because of the relationships with the majors and Spotify. But having said that, I do always think that great music will rise. And I just think as an indie artist, you just got to work that bit harder and just making sure that you're using every platform and engaging your fan base. But it is tricky, but at the same time, it's really rewarding when you do kind of pave a way because it's completely organic. And you know that people that are responding to her music are really connecting to it. And at the end of the day, that is what any artist wants. And if you're in the business of music, you're definitely not in it for music. For money. You're in it for the music and for the love of music and connecting to people. So it is challenging, but I think we just have to take the good with the bad. I'm friends with a lot of indie artists that are doing incredibly well. And it's just, I think, all about that hustle, really.
Hanging out with us on The Kelly Alexander Show is recording artist Michaela May. Follow her on her website, michaelamayofficial.com. Your latest single is called Hook, Line, and Sinker. Tell us about it.
So that single was actually written for Little Mix, the girl group in the UK, and it was written years ago. And it was a demo that we did. We submitted it to their team, and we're kind of holding on to it for a little bit, and then it just gets released if it doesn't make the cut for their album. So that was actually a song that was heard by a couple different people in the industry that were like, oh, we really like this song. You should try and do something with it. And it was just sitting on my hard drive, and I felt really summery, and I felt like at the time when I was listening back to it, you know, just a few months ago, I was like, God, you know, like the news is just so depressing, and you know, I just feel like I just wanted to put something really lighthearted out. So what I did was I redid it with my team here and made some additions because on the original version there's a rapper on there that's a friend of mine, and we just changed it up, and I just wanted to put it out as a feel good song. It's about, you know, falling in love with someone, and it's about letting yourself go. And, you know, some of the other stuff that I've written is a bit more kind of heady or a bit more kind of more meaningful lyrics. But ultimately, that song is just about that. It's summer. It's fun. And I just wanted people to put it on and just think like this is a summer jam. I want them to feel happy. So for 3 minutes, they get to escape their life or whatever issues or whatever's going on and just put it on for 3 minutes and just kind of take them to that summer heat, catchy chorus. And that was essentially the idea.
Now, talk to us about your, I would say, process in the studio. I know you write your lyrics. I'm assuming you write all of them. But I also read that you co-produce. Is there a specific reason for that? Is it just because, you know, you're that passionate about the music that you want to make sure you have your hands in everything and you're not just passing it off to some producer?
Totally. And I risk it making me like I'm like sounding like a control freak, but I think maybe in some sort of way I am very passionate about the sounds that I use and how I want to hear things. So and that, you know, the co-producing thing just sort of happened as a product of me wanting to learn more and just being in the studio and having more control over the sounds, because in my head I could hear what I wanted, and it was frustrating to not be able to just kind of do it yourself. So, I'm in there from the very first kind of drum loop. I'm finding the sound with the producer. It's always me, producer, and sometimes a programmer too, depending on the team that I'm working with. But it's really important for me to be in there and just with that chemistry, getting that synergy going. Because we all know when we hit on that sound, especially if it's in my head, a specific type of sound. And I really enjoy that side. I actually want to improve on the production side of things. I have a bit of a ways to go, but I really enjoy that side.
Do you have specific goals set for yourself for the next like 6 months to a year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do.
Can you share any of them?
So for the next 6 months, I'm working on new music. I'm going to be releasing two singles before the end of the year. And I'm going to be going in a bit of a different direction. So I've been really working hard on that. Still pop, obviously. I mean, I love that side, but a bit of a different feel. And then I'm hoping to do some touring actually in Europe. So that'll be the following 6 months. And within that time, I want to put out, hopefully, fingers crossed, an EP by the summer. So I just kind of want to do a couple singles. There'll be two singles for the end of the year. Then hopefully, fingers crossed, there'll be another single or two, and do some touring over in Europe. So those are some of my goals for the next year.
Well, that's awesome. And, you know, we're super proud of you. We wish you all the best of luck. You're always welcome back on the show. And we can't wait to hear more music from you. So keep us posted on what's going on.
Oh, thanks so much. I really appreciate that.
That's recording artist Michaela May. Make sure to follow her at michaelamayofficial.com. And here she is with Hook, Line, and Sinker on The Kelly Alexander Show.
You got that thing, that real thing, that makes me want to swerve to the next lane. Yeah, you're right, it's all right. You got me burning up inside. You got me feeling weak. I'm falling to my knees, saying your name when I sleep. Your body touching mine, I'm losing my mind. I'm losing my mind. Hey, oh, you gotta know, I fell for your heart. Oh,
happy to support this next talented Canadian artist, Coleman Hell. Coleman has had a ton of success with his single Two Heads, which went top 10 on four different Canadian radio formats and has over 114 million streams on Spotify. Coleman is now back with a new single, and it already has over 300,000 streams on Spotify, and it's only been out for a couple of weeks. It's called Love Is Blind on The Kelly Alexander Show.
It was on a Friday when I seen your face. You were looking over my way, stop me in my place. High and superstitious, but that's been known to change when you're standing right beside me. Oh, this must be fate. It's not what you see. I just hope that you believe in the love that we could be.
Kelly Alexander Show.
On the way, a conversation with jazz artist Michael Casehammer. But first, here's a great album track off her brand new CD, Sweetener. It's Ariana Grande featuring Missy Elliott with Borderline on the Kelly Alexander Show.
Let's go!
Baby, I just want you to be mine. Won't you give me a bit of your time? Oh, Jason, you know I won't stop trying. Just meet me at the borderline.
Line beside me, you lay.
Baby, I just want you to be mine. Won't you give me a bit of your time? Oh, Jason, you know I won't stop trying. Just meet me at the borderline.
Ariana Grande and Missy Elliott with Borderline from her new album Sweetener. And I have to tell you, the moment I heard this track, I knew I had to play it for you. It's got a great groove, and of course, both Ariana and Missy are vocally on point. How you doing? It's Kelly, and joining us now on the Kelly Alexander Show is Canadian jazz artist Michael Casehammer. Michael has released his 12th album, Something New, and has lots of tour dates set up to promote the new project. We're looking forward to learning all about his career and this new album. Michael, welcome to the show.
Nice to be here. Thank you.
So, how did your musical journey actually get started?
I started because of my dad. My dad played a little bit of jazz piano when I was a kid, and he had a huge record collection. And although I was, listening to AC/DC and Led Zeppelin and Iron Maiden with my peers at school at the time, my real love was for jazz. And so I had a little bit of classical piano as a kid, but I used to see my dad play jazz and boogie-woogie and blues, and I just wanted to be like my dad because I thought he was the coolest when he played the piano. And that's why I'm doing what I do.
Now, that genre of music, boogie-woogie, do you think that it's followed you throughout your career, even though now you are fully into jazz?
Yeah, for sure. It's first of all, it's not a common genre that that piano players play. It was so popular in the 30s and 40s, but even in jazz and blues, there's not that many boogie-woogie piano players. For me, it was just so upbeat and infectious, and especially when you're younger, it's so much fun and you can show off on the piano. And so that's what attracted me to it at the beginning. I couldn't believe you can get that much sound out of the piano. And it's still to this day, although I've kind of branched out into writing and some modern or contemporary jazz stuff, the boogie-woogie thing is always the base of my playing.
Apart from your father, who has influenced you the most musically throughout your career?
I would say there's the city of New Orleans. And that means, like, besides the records that my dad played from New Orleans, I started going down there in my early 20s and started to play with the Nevilles or with some players from the Meters, which are great bands that I grew up listening to, drummers and bass players that used to play with my piano heroes from New Orleans, which were Professor Longhair and James Booker, which not many people know, but if you're in New Orleans, they're superstars.
Now, can you talk to us about the new album, Something New? Is it, quote-unquote, really something new? Like, would you classify this as a departure from the other work that you've done?
Well, it's something new for me because I started approaching the project differently. So it's not really something new in the way of the music is taking a left turn from my previous albums. But I started to look at the project as a producer more than an artist. And I went down to New Orleans. It started with me picking a core band that I wanted to record with in New Orleans. And then as I was down there, I started to think, well, maybe someone else should sing this song. Someone else should sing this song. Because as a producer, sometimes it's important to serve the song rather than the ego of the artist, being yourself. And when you self-produce, that's hard to do sometimes. But in this case, for me, that's what the project became. And then that's how Curtis Salgado and Cyril Neville and all these guys started. Colin James and Randy Bachman came on the record and guested on it. And for me, it became this, you know, I started something new in my career as a musician by producing other artists.
And having these other artists on the album, what was that like? Again, you mentioned people like Colin James and Randy Bachman, and I know Chuck from the Rolling Stones, and the list goes on. What was it like having all these cats in the studio?
Oh, it was great because for me, they were all friends before, so I knew them all, and we've played together before, and that was important to me that I would make music with people I respect as a person, first of all, and the fact that they're great musicians should be almost a given. So I selected people I really like and who I also admire as musicians. And to be in the studio with friends and friends who are that great and who are well known is just kind of the topper. And it gave me the idea to approach an album in the future, maybe just to produce, even if it would be under my name, but just to produce it because it was so much fun. And it's almost like, you know, you can shape music from that angle in a whole different way. It feels like, I would assume when your conductor conducting a symphony, it's kind of like the same feeling where you have these soundscapes that you can play with, but you're not actually the player.
Joining us on the show is Canadian jazz artist Michael Casehammer. Make sure you follow him on social media by checking out his website, casehammer.com. Is this particular album a story, or is it a collection of songs in your mind?
It's a collection of songs that I wrote within a four-week frame. It's not a concept album in the way that there's a story going through it. But I go tour in China every year, and a couple of years ago, when I went, I needed to find a project to keep myself interested on planes and there's really long train rides, and I'm not the kind of person who wants to binge watch shows. So I needed some kind of project, and I decided to have the drummer in New Orleans record a few grooves, and I took them with me, and I started chopping them up on the computer, and basically writing on the plane this album about impressions that were on hand while I was in China, about things that I was thinking about from back home. And so for me, that's the concept, but it doesn't have a story going through it.
Now, I know you grew up in Germany, but obviously you're here in Canada now. How has that journey, I suppose, being, you know, from Europe and now being in Canada, how has that influenced who you are as an artist?
I think it 100% is the reason why I do and why I am who I am, because I moved when I was 18, and at the time, if I would have stayed in Germany, because of the environment I lived in and the town I lived in, I don't know if I would have pursued music as a living. And although I played, and I would have played a lot, but it wasn't an option to make money with music. And when I came here, I moved to Vancouver Island first, and I saw musicians playing in pubs for $50 a night. And when you're 18, that looked great. And I thought, wow, if these guys can do it, I can do it. And then basically I just started to follow my path without thinking about a career, but things would come along. Then a label came along and asked if I would record, because CBC was, you know, like, it just kind of followed this course of music career. And without being in Canada, I would not be doing what I do. And that's why when I travel around the world, my favorite thing about traveling around the world is seeing Welcome Back to Canada when I come home.
Oh, that's awesome. And I wanted to ask you, obviously you mentioned New Orleans plays an important part in who you are as well as an artist. Was there ever the idea that you might move down there full-time?
To the U.S.? Sorry, you're breaking up.
Yeah, to the U.S. or New Orleans.
No, I lived in New York for a little bit, and I was in New Orleans before Katrina. That was also kind of a fluke thing. I was going down for a vacation, basically, just to check out music, and a friend of mine was playing on Bourbon Street every Wednesday night, and he went on the road with some other artist, and he said, hey, I need someone to fill in. So I filled in and I stayed for a year. And that was probably my, you know, that was better than going 10 years to university learning about music. And so I did spend some time there, but it's I really believe that, you know, if you're happy and proud of where you're from, you can branch out around the world, but for me, I'm very proud to be Canadian when I travel.
I wanted to ask you as well, with regards to something new, do you feel that it's the best album you've ever recorded, ever produced?
Yes.
Okay, great.
And I think the next one will be the best after that, because I'm lucky enough that I can create music without having many people talk to me about what it should be or what people expect, and so for me, to do an album, it's purely what am I interested in, and I think that's what makes good music, especially in the jazz genre. And so this is really just a snapshot of who I am at this point, and I'm super happy in my life, and I want to convey that in my music, and I think the next one will be even better. I'm already working on it.
That's fantastic, because I did want to ask you what is coming up next for you that you would like your fans and my audience who are learning about you to know.
Yeah, I have a couple of projects. I have a project that I'm working on with a conductor, but a record with a symphony, and then I'm also working on a record with my band that's maybe a little more on the poppy side, but this is what I'm saying now. What comes out in a year, the journey there, it might take a whole different shape, but I'm working on it, and it's the most fun part. Once the old album is done and it's out for a lot of people, it's here, it's the new album. For me, I'm moving on.
And I did want to ask you, with regards to jazz and jazz in Canada, how do you feel the scene is? Do you feel it's in a healthy place? Is it heading in the right direction?
It is. I think it's fantastic. And, you know, I think jazz in Canada was back in the 50s and 60s, people like Oscar Peterson kind of paved the way for people to see jazz in Canada as something serious also around the world. And then there's a lot of people that got in, that were influenced, like Diana Krall or Bublé, or like, I don't know, there's a lot of people who are out there today touring the world who were influenced by people from the 60s, 70s doing jazz in Canada, and that really set the seed for great Canadian jazz. And sometimes you wouldn't know it, but when you go to the U.S. or to Europe, and you see someone who's successful in jazz, there's a lot of people who are actually from Canada, even though you might not know it, you know, like people there might not even know, realize they're from Canada.
That's amazing. Well, Michael, I want to thank you so much for your time. It's been so great to have you on the show, and you're welcome back anytime.
Yeah, it was a pleasure to talk to you.
That's Canadian jazz artist Michael Casehammer. Make sure to follow him on social media by checking out his website, casehammer.com. And here's one of his new songs called Who Are You on The Kelly Alexander Show.
Think about the people walking down the street, chasing hot jazz to safeguard little they achieve. Think about the children being raised today, feeling so discouraged and worried to find their way. And sorrow in every possible shape. Listen to the hungry, don't forget the poor. Before you go out fighting just another mindless war. We'll be right back.
new music on The Kelly Alexander Show.
Tonight, skip the conversations and the oh, I'm fine. No, I, no stranger to surprise. This paper town has let me down too many times. Why do I even try? Give me a reason why. I thought that I could trust you, never mind. Why all the switching sides? Where do I draw that line? I guess I'm too naive to read the signs. I'm just looking for some real friends. All they ever do is let me down. Every time I let somebody in, then I find out what they're all about. I'm just looking for some real friends. Wonder where they're all hiding out. I'm just looking for some real friends. Gotta get up out of this town. I stay up talking to the moon. Been feeling so alone in every crowded room. Can't help but feel like something's wrong, yeah. Cause the place I'm living in just doesn't feel like home. I'm just looking for some real friends. All they ever do is let me down. Every time I let somebody in, then I find out what they're all about. I'm just looking for some real friends. Wonder where they're all hiding out. I'm just looking for some real friends. Gotta get up out of this town. Times that I don't understand. Tell me what's the point of a moon like this when I'm alone again. Can I run away to somewhere beautiful where nobody knows my name? I'm just looking for some real friends. All they ever do is let me down. Let me let somebody in, but I find out what they're all about. I'm just looking for some real friends. All they ever do is let me down. I'm just looking for some real friends. Gotta get up out of this town, yeah.
From Camila Cabello and Swae Lee, it's Real Friends on The Kelly Alexander Show. And congratulations to Camila, who recently picked up a couple of awards at the MTV VMAs, Artist of the Year and Video of the Year. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the program this week. And of course, our many thanks going out to our guests, Michaela May and Michael Casehammer. Also a big shout out to our producer, Adam Brisson. We'd love for you to follow us on all of our social media. You can do so by hitting up our website, kellyalexandershow.com. And of course, we'd love for you to rate our podcast. You can do so by checking out iTunes and Stitcher Radio. So have a great week. We're going to leave you with some new music from Calvin Harris, Sam Smith, and Jesse Reyes. It's Promises on The Kelly Alexander Show.
Are you drunk enough? Now to judge what I'm doing. Are you high enough to excuse that I'm ruined? Cause I'm ruined. Is it late enough for you to come and stay over? Cause we're free to love, so tease me. Promises, I can't do golden rings, but I'll give you everything.
Tonight.
Magic is in the air, there ain't no science here, so come get your everything.
Tonight.
I made no promises, I can't do golden rings, but I'll give. is it loud enough? Cause my body is calling for you, calling for you. I need someone to do the things that I do. I'm here now. Alone. I made no promises, I can't do golden rings, but I'll give you everything.
Tonight.
Magic is in the air, there ain't no science here, so come get your everything.
Tonight.
I made no promises, I can't do golden rings, but I'll give you everything.
Tonight.
Magic is in the air. Science here, so come get your everything.
Tonight.
Tonight. I can't do golden rings, but I'll give you everything.
Tonight.
Magic is in the air, there ain't no science here, so come get your everything.
Tonight.
I made no promises, I can't do golden rings, but I'll give you everything.
Tonight.
Magic is in the air, there ain't no science here, so come get your everything.
Tonight.
Find us on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Click on KellyAlexanderShow.com.